Yes! Oh, yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 65 of the Paid Search Podcast. I'm here with the man with the tightest yoga pants still.
Yoga pants.
My name is Jason Rothman. That's Chris Schaefer. This is a Paid Search Podcast. Chris, how's it going today, buddy? You're looking great.
Thank you. Jason, you equally look very professional. You have a tie on. You have your coffee cup. Looking good. I feel like we are dressed for success, and our listeners would expect nothing less. Boy, that's a good tagline.
That is a great tagline. So I'm going to move on here, Chris. Today we're talking about real business, real strategies that come out of Google AdWords. And I have to do some self-promotion, so let me get it out of the way here, Chris. But before I say that, let me just say that the self-promotion was spawned by an idea you had. So on my Twitter feed, at Rothman PPC, I retweeted Luby's, one of their tweets yesterday. They're putting out chef-inspired entrees and sides all summer long at Luby's, Chris. So if anyone wants to see a picture of those, you can check out my Twitter feed. The next thing I tweeted, Chris, was that conversions are the primary goal of AdWords, but you can also get a ton of info about your industry from AdWords. Discussing this on PSP Today. And I got that idea from you, Chris, because you always talk about, hey, if you don't get any conversions in your first month, it's not a lost cause. You can gain a ton of business information from your AdWords campaign. So why don't you tell everybody how that theory you have about getting business information plays into today's podcast topic.
Yeah, so, you know, we don't steal our ideas. You guys might wonder where we get ideas. We get ideas from listeners. You guys send in questions. You call our voicemail and leave a voice message and give us ideas. The topic of today's is something that I just came up with. It's something that Jason and I have a unique perspective on because we both have touched many, many campaigns over our years of managing accounts, right? So we have a lot of stories. We have a lot of things that we can share and experiences that we have in AdWords. So the topic and the idea for today is let's share those experiences, some on very specific levels and some on bigger, more trend levels of what we see many clients doing, and pass that information on to our listeners so that they can enjoy the knowledge without the pain of experiencing it and failing on that on their own side. So, good stuff. I think it'll be useful on many levels for many listeners.
Yeah, I think for AdWords manager type peoples, it'll help them convey the value of AdWords to their potential clients. And then for business owners, it can spark some ideas on how you can use your AdWords information to do better at your overall business kind of outside of AdWords. So with that said, Chris, we'll get into some examples here of how AdWords information can impact real strategies and real business decisions. So my first example, Chris, was working for a moving company or with a moving company on their AdWords campaign. Of course.
You are the best.
Well, it goes unsaid at this point, but why not say it again? If anybody needs someone to manage their moving company AdWords campaign, I can guarantee you it's like my mom was a mover and my dad started AdWords and then they had me. It's like it's a mix of best of both worlds here. So I work with a lot of movers. But Chris, not all my movers are successful when they start out. And one of the moving companies I was working with, they were a new moving company. They thought things were going great. And in their world, they were, because they were like, hey, we're going to start a moving company. They started a moving company. They started getting calls. They started doing business. And they were on fire. Like, they felt so good about their business because they wanted to start a business and it was working. But it could be a lot better than it was going, because one thing they found out through AdWords, which they had never known before, was that they were missing 30% of their calls. The calls were being rerouted to one of the owner's cell phones. They were handling the calls. Owners do a lot in their business. They're on the go a lot. And we could see from the Dimensions tab in Google AdWords, the call reporting, call details section of the Dimensions tab, which not a lot of people know about, but a lot of great information in there. We are tracking every single call from AdWords, both mobile and when people call from the website. And they were missing 30% of their calls, Chris. It would say missed. And so what that taught them is that they need to get serious about their intake, maybe hire someone for a very small dollar amount per hour just to be on the phones and be able to answer every single call that they're paying a ton of money for. So they would have known, they would have never known this if they weren't running AdWords, because they thought things were going great and they were doing pretty good, but they did not realize that almost a third of their calls, potential business, was being missed. And the reason we were able to find that was from AdWords. So I thought that was a great example to kick us off here of how information inside the AdWords account that maybe has nothing to do with conversions helps inform people when they're running their business on how to better run their business, how to, hey, light bulb, let's hire someone so we can answer every call.
Yeah. Jason, just to get even more granular, how did they know that they were missing calls? Was it based on the fact that the calls were only 5 seconds long, lots of 5 second calls, or was it saying that the calls were missed?
Well, offline, they knew they weren't answering every call. Like, they know that. Like, they see the missed calls. And the thing was, though, they were busy, like busy. And so their attitude was, hey, we missed a call, we'll call them back. But that's not a good way to run your business. So getting clarity from AdWords, where in the dimensions tab, to answer your question, we can actually see whether a phone call was answered and how long it lasted, or whether it was literally missed. And the other end of the call, the receiver of the call, the business advertising on AdWords, never picked up the phone. So inside the Dimensions tab, that's a great question, Chris. It'll actually say missed under whether it was received or missed. And seeing 30% of them missed like that, they had no idea that it was that bad. Almost a third of their calls were going missed.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. I like it. I think that's very practical advice. So, Jason, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to share a little bit on a broader scale of my clients and what I've experienced myself with budgets. So one of the biggest questions I get, you know, is whether it's an agency or an individual, is how much should we spend on AdWords? Should we spend this much or this much? Should we go small or should we go big? And I'm not here to talk about the amount, whether small or big is the right idea. I think that's a completely different conversation. But I want to address what small and big is. Okay. Now, I know this is relative. You know, a small mom and pop shop that sells very small little widgets and it's only a 5 mile radius, you know, big and small is different for a national company versus a small company. I understand that. But let me define just for the, if I look across all the accounts that I have, local, national, and typically, I see budgets that fall within a $2,000 to $4,000 range. This is something I've framed my own business on because I've realized it over time. But most companies are spending in the $2,000, you know, maybe let's just say $3,000 range. You know, when you look at large budgets that are in the $10,000 range, and how many are in the, you know, below $1,000 range. And in the end, they average out to maybe about $2,000, $3,000, something right, like that. So if you have in mind that you have a small budget, I think the thing to realize here is that you think, you know, I have a lot of people that say, yeah, we have a small budget, we're spending $4,000. Actually, you have a very modest budget compared to everyone else. I mean, that's about right, average. Jason, what do you see with typical ad spends? I mean, do you see that that's about the kind of spend that you see a lot of people are comfortable with for their business?
I also see $2,000 to $4,000, and I even see a lot of $1,000. And a lot of people who start off on AdWords saying they're going to get to $4,000 or $5,000, and I know our reps we talked to at Google would say it's my job to kind of show them how things are working so well and get them from $1,000 to $5,000. But a lot of my clients, they're comfortable at $1,000 and they want to stay there. And so I also see a similar phenomenon. You know what's interesting? I don't see a lot of clients in like the 12 to 15K range, no. 12 to 20. It's like most people are under 5 or 4, or they're like 30, 50K or more a month. And I think that's a great point, Chris, because everyone's worried about being too small. But here's another way business owners should think about it. If I run a business, and I do, I don't want one source, no matter how much I like them or respect them, Google, being the source of all my new business. I want word of mouth. I want to run a Facebook campaign. I want Google. I want YouTube. I want organic traffic because I've got a great blog. I want people out there getting commissions when they bring new clients to me. Like maybe potentially one day TV ads, Chris. Like for a business owner, you don't want one source bringing all your business. You want to get as much as you can from AdWords and make it as most profitable as you can. But there is a benefit to figuring out how to get profitable sources of business from all different kinds of sources and not just being monkeyed up on, hey, I've got to spend more than everybody else on AdWords.
Yeah.
So I see the same thing. Everyone kind of has a complex about AdWords. And to take it further, Chris, people don't think they can be effective if they're not spending north of $5,000 a month, which is totally inaccurate. That's, like we're getting, for example, moving leads. We're getting moving leads for 30, you know, sometimes $30. And that's if you spend $2,000, that's a lot of leads, a lot of jobs that can bring in $800, $1,000 per job for just $2,000 a month. You don't have to spend a bunch to make AdWords effective, especially when someone like you or I is running the campaign.
That's the most terrifying thing I hear is that, hey, we're spending $2,000 and we have, you know, 80% search impression share, 90%, something like that. Healthy budget, spending $2,000. How can we get to $4,000, Chris? Whoa. Wait a second. You know, if they're already saturating their market, they already have great keywords, they have good quality of traffic and getting conversions, why do you want to spend $4,000? Because there's only one answer to that. We're going to have to go outside of what's working for us. We're going to have to start using broader terms and potentially bringing in traffic that isn't necessarily as valuable or maybe pushing to 100% search impression share and showing in first position all the time.
Right.
Maybe that's not necessary. Maybe you don't need to spend as much money as the other guy. You can still be profitable. So I think that's, you know, it's important to know if you're in the, if you're in that range, know that you are in a room full of people. You're not alone. You're not running a small budget. You're running a very normal budget for most small businesses.
Right. And if you do what we say, focus on search terms, focus on conversions, it shouldn't matter. That you could spend more if you needed to. You're being profitable right now. So that's a great lesson to be learned there, Chris. My next kind of story here is that I had a moving company, but this can apply to any kind of company, find a new line of business from AdWords.
Hmm.
Through the search terms report, we were targeting words like movers, moving companies near me, all that kind of stuff. And we were seeing what we picked up in the search terms report. And in that report, one of the things we kept seeing come through because of phrase and broad match modified targeting was eviction movers. And people were Googling eviction movers. This is assuming this is landlords who are evicting people who they don't have any money to pay their rent. They obviously don't have any money to move their stuff, and you need them out. So what happened was this moving company up there in the great state of New Jersey found out that there was a market for eviction moves, and they put up a page on their website. They started getting organic traffic because not a lot of other movers were talking about eviction moving on their website, and it became a new line of business for their moving company. And they would have never known about it unless they found out the way they found out, which was searching through the search terms report to see what people were actually typing in Google. And Chris, eviction moving is a great line of business for them because they're high stress situations. They need to be done as soon as possible. And there are also some, you know, legal and drama issues with dealing with those kind of people. So you have to be the right kind of moving company that can handle all those moving day emotions, and because of that they can charge a premium.
Yeah.
And you, they work with those landlords over and over.
You've just taken a business that sells to a consumer and changed it to a business that sells to a business. I mean,
and they didn't even know that line of moving existed.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great way to change a product that's hard to sell to an individual that you can sell for more to a business, because businesses are always willing to pay more than individuals because, you know, they expect to pay for premium services and things like that. So that's
right.
That's great. Great, great practical idea there. So yeah, that's a good story. I have, Jason, we bring down the lights. I have a sad story to tell for my second point, fourth point overall. And this is sad because I had a bit of a personal experience with a company. This is a small business company here, actually in the Houston area. And I had a run in with this company, and basically they had called me and said, you know, Chris, I want you to help me with my AdWords campaign. Here's what's happened. And basically what happens is, and this is one particular story that I could tell many versions of it over and over. This happened, but essentially a company has gained administrative access to someone's AdWords account, and they essentially hold the campaign hostage. That person does not have access to their AdWords. They pay when the person says, "Hey, I need $500 more for the ads to start running again." You know, we're out. He's prepaying the funds. I assume, you know, putting a certain amount in. He says, "I need to hit your card for another $500. He says, "Okay." He has no idea. He doesn't get reports. He doesn't get any kind of formal invoice to show how much is actually going into Google. And he's uncomfortable with it, as anyone would be. And basically he says, I'd like to see my account. No, you can't. I would like to get some more information about what kind of clicks I'm getting. What are my keywords? What do my ads look like? No, you can't. You can't see that. Right. And this is something that I see happen all the time, and it's for one reason only. There's only one way this can happen. You give someone else administrative access to your account. Now, it takes additional steps to give someone administrative access.
Right.
If they're a manager, you have to flip a little switch on that MCC access to say give administrative access. If you have that on there, take that off. There is absolutely no reason. Do not believe anyone if they tell you that they have to have administrative access in order to gain certain API or blah, blah, blah. It's absolute lies. There's absolutely no reason for someone to have administrative access, because if they do, they can then kick you out of your own campaign and hold you hostage. They can hold your account hostage and say, you know, if you go with anyone else, you can't have your account anymore. We own this account. Now, this is nothing Google can do anything about, just to be clear. You cannot go complain to Google and they will fix it for you. That is not their problem. They will not do it.
Yeah, they'll say so-and-so is officially the administrative owner, so why should we believe you?
Yeah.
And we can't get involved with that. Now, Chris, some people would say this is the way some, you know, people are always asking us how we do business, how we charge. We got a question like that this week from Stacy that we're going to answer on an upcoming show. But people want to know how we do business. And some people might say, Chris, the example you just gave where the agency owns the AdWords account and is holding it from the business owner whose money is funding the account. Some agencies do business that way, Chris, where they say it's our work. We obviously want you to retain us month after month, and it's our work, so you don't get access to it. If you want these smarts and this performance, you have to hire us month to month. And we're not just going to let you take the campaign because you could take it from us. Now, what would you say to listeners out there that are getting pitched by agencies that do business that way?
I think that is a legitimate business idea that many people do, many agencies do, and freelancers do. And it's understandable that they would do that because it is their work. But I will say, for the person that's purchasing service under that umbrella of a person having full administrative access, make sure you are paying less, because you are not paying for their time. You're paying to rent a set of keywords and ads and campaign setup. You do not own that. So you should essentially pay less, in the same way that that I have Spotify, but I don't pay for access to millions of albums and things that I don't actually own. I pay a very small premium in order to have access and rent that material for a short amount of time. So make sure you're not paying full price for that, because it is absolutely not yours. You have no right to it, and if you stop paying, it'll be gone like that, and you have to start fresh.
Right, and so everyone knows, the way you and I do business, if a client comes to us, whether it's a new AdWords campaign or an existing one, it's our client's campaign. And we come in there and we get access to manage it, but we leave it in the client's hands. It's their ownership. And of course, you and I want to be on the account forever, but we earn that position.
Exactly.
By doing a good job with the AdWords performance each month, and then doing a good job being, with client communications and all that. So it's the same end result, but our clients actually own the account. And if we died or went into a new business or did not do a good job and they wanted to fire us, they have that option. Yep. And there's so many people offering it our way, Chris, and doing a really good job for clients. I would say, I'd go a step further and say, not only pay less if the person, if the agency's going to say they own the account, but maybe don't do business with them.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people like us who would do a good job and let you still be the owner.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Yep. So this this next example here, Chris, was I had a company. We're running ads, and they were able to make a real-life business decision about their pricing by testing their pricing in the ad copy, running an experiment, and seeing which one got, like, so if they're going to charge $175 an hour versus $125, we ran AdWords experiments all the time testing out new pricing to help inform them as a business owner how the market would respond to different prices and basically to see how much they could get away with charging. And we could do it very quickly and gather a lot of data through AdWords. They didn't have to call their website guy and edit the website. They didn't have to do all that kind of stuff, edit their brochures or whatever. We just changed ad copy. And it's a very quick, efficient way to test things. And they were able to make pricing decisions by putting different prices in ads and seeing how it affected click-through rate and conversion rate. So I thought that's a great way business owners can make a business decision from AdWords.
Yeah. I have an even bigger decision that a company made once. We ran ads with different names of companies in the ad because they were considering a brand change. So we used the response that people had in the ad copy in order to rename their company. I mean,
that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's so people seem to respond and understand the things that, you know, made more sense, that seemed more practical with what, you know, whatever service they were providing. So people essentially voted by clicking on ads, and they ended up going with the set of ads that had the best click-through rate, the company name that had the ads with the best click-through rate.
I love it.
Yeah. So, all right. Again, I'm going to harp on budgets and spend and stuff, okay? Because I feel like this is, again, I was honest when I said it. This is a big topic, and it comes up no matter what, big or small. And I want to talk about budgets in AdWords, okay? So we've discussed what a typical median budget might be, you know, 2 to 4, you know, 1500, something like that, okay? So the idea is below that, and let's say that you want to run a small campaign. I've always said it for many years, any budget will work in AdWords. You want to spend $100, you can still run an AdWords campaign. You want to spend $300, that's fine. I mean, we can get the same type of results, but there's only one thing that changes. There's two things that change. One thing that should change is the volume of clicks that you get. It's not calculus. It's just simple arithmetic. You can only afford so many clicks. When your budget runs out for the day, those clicks will stop, so you don't get as many clicks when you spend $300 versus $3,000.
Right.
Okay? Pretty straightforward. Here's the other thing that should change, and a lot of people miss this second one. Your expectations should change. And I have this happen a lot with my clients. I see a lot of them say, we want to start small and grow. And they forget that they said and grow, because they think, if I spend $300 now, I need proof. This better change my business. And the fact is, right, I've learned over the years that people forget that they're only paying $300. You know, they let something sit for 30 days and they think, why isn't this changing my world? Why isn't this making, you know, a drastic change? So the lesson here that I'd like to share is that keep your expectations at the level of your budget. If you want to take something heavy and hard, just because you can choose your own budget does not mean you should cheap out with AdWords.
Right.
If a newspaper came to you and with a deal on how to advertise, they're not going to say, would you like to spend $100 on this? They're going to say, no, in order to get serious with this, with the type of things we are suggesting, you need to spend at, you know, the 15K level. You know, right, you need to spend a significant amount. So why do people approach AdWords in a way that would somehow think that it's a magic pill, that they can take and suddenly get leads at astoundingly low rates? That's not the case. So,
right.
I said,
I've never thought about it that way, Chris, but I experience the same problem all the time where people get wildly delusional about the results they can get from AdWords. And I've experienced it just like you all the time. And if you do not want to do business with me, if you do not want me to take you on as a client, fill out the lead forms on my website and tell me you're expecting something wildly unrealistic, like 100 moves a month for a budget of $300 a month, when one move can bring in $800 to $1,000. Are you really going to make $30,000 on a $300 investment?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but I've never thought about why that happens with AdWords, Chris, but I think you're onto it. I think it's because you can go so small. And like a newspaper, like you said, it's never going to sell you a package for $200 a month. You got to put it in some real money. But with AdWords, you can go small if you want to. And I think people don't think about that other side of the equation. What happens when you lower your budget? Of course, your results are going to go down as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of AdWords delusion out there. So Chris, our last example here, Chris, people listening on the podcast can't see this, but to help enlighten them, and if they want to check out our YouTube channel, they can't see it. But how good do I look?
Like $1 million.
Do you like this tie?
Yeah, sure.
Does it pop?
I'm not a big fan of ties, so I'm just going to say, yeah, sure.
I'm a big fan of success, Chris.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of successful people wear a lot of ties. So
okay.
It took me 28 years to figure that out, but I finally did the equation. But you can see the purple in the tie matches the purple in the shirt.
Uh-huh.
And brings out the dark blue in my eyes. Yeah. So I love dressing well, and this is a new thing for me. And I found a great local suit store for men here in Oklahoma City. And we had an interesting thing happen. Running an AdWords campaign, this is not for the company in Oklahoma City, but they also are experiencing the same thing, but this was for a company in California. Men's suit store, right, Chris? Mm. One owner, one store, and people like me who need a good solution are going to come from a long way away because we don't want to go to whatever store, you all know the brand, where you're not going to get good service. We want good service. So we're running an AdWords campaign. We look at our locations, and we're targeting the full region, Chris, because a big region where people can drive from an hour away. And we saw that this one town, they were getting a lot of like good conversions and good traffic from. And it convinced them so much that people in this town were underserved, that they'd be willing to do a search, call this business an hour away, and get on the phone with them and come in. They felt it in their business, asking people where they're from and how they found them. They felt it in the AdWords campaign, seeing the higher than normal conversion rate and higher than normal call volume from this one town an hour away. It convinced them to open a shop in that next door town an hour away and do business there. And they were onto that theory that people from this town were underserved and coming to them an hour away, just from talking to customers, but seeing that data in AdWords, it kind of gave them the confidence to, oh, okay, this is a real thing. There's real data behind this. Let's throw down a down payment and open a store there. So again, it doesn't have anything to do with CPA or anything like that we always talk about, but just a real business decision gained from the data you get from an AdWords campaign if you know how to access and use that data.
That is a cool story. I like that you ended with that one because that's really cool. I mean, that shows that even without, I assume every one of those clicks, they probably didn't have just an astounding number of conversions just in that one little town, but it was probably the fact that that one little town had so many qualified searches coming from that area, and they made that decision.
It wasn't like a massive amount of search volume.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, hey, we're going to run a study and see if this has the right confidence level. It was just seeing, okay, there's clicks from everywhere, but look at this like 27% conversion rate when our average is like 7.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
That's cool.
And then they tied that with their real business data. So that's it, guys. Those are some real business examples and the kind of business side of AdWords, how it can help your business and some things to watch out for. Chris, we're going to wrap up today's show with our favorite thing, reviews.
Oh, dude, I've been looking forward to this since I saw this come in a couple days ago. So I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready. I'm ready. The listeners are ready. So I'm going to read this review here. Okay, it's from GPS710. The title is 5 minutes of info in 30 minutes. It's a 2-star review.
Oh.
And he says, I must not be your target market.
Oh, wait, this is
so. There you go, guys. That's a review that's we got from from iTunes, and we appreciate review. You guys.
No, Jason. No, come on, come on. Give them the one that I, you know.
Okay.
Come on.
Fruit Ninja. Okay, so that so you know that's our one bad review. I want to take that guy outside and beat his teeth in with my fist, because how can you say?
Oh man.
5 minutes of info in 30 minutes. I mean, I go on and on about my own business, my newsletter, my Twitter, the way I'm dressed,
but,
jokes I come up with, but I get it out of my system in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's not 25.
Yeah, come on, come
on,
bro.
Come on. Give it, give
of course, I don't want to beat
give me the one that's
going to
make my head grow. That's the one. Come on.
God, Chris, I get so red. Okay, that was all hypothetical. I don't really want to do that to him. So just want to give him a hug and thank him for reviewing us, because unlike some listeners, at least he left a review, Chris. So we got a good review this week. Fruit Ninja in STL, like that name. They say, best AdWords podcast ever. 5 stars. He says, he or she says, the insights shared are invaluable. These guys can't put out episodes fast enough. So we really appreciate those reviews. I appreciate those reviews because it helps get our shows more listeners and puts more money in my greedy pockets. But Chris, you really appreciate those reviews. I can tell when someone writes in and talks about our show, it hits you in the heart. So why does that hit you so warmly, man? I mean, I appreciate people reviewing us, but I look at it as a business transaction. We're giving information. They're helping us with a review. But you look at it deeper. So what do those reviews mean to you?
Jason, I'm going to completely ignore your question, because I'm still not satisfied with what you read. I'm going to go to Mitch's.
Oh, my apologies,
Mitch's
Chris.
Email.
The email. Okay, gotcha.
It was the email. That's the one.
See,
guys,
this is how, like, if you're not putting that review on iTunes where it hurts us, what's your name again? Like, I don't even see it.
Okay.
But Chris,
come on,
man,
Mitch.
This
Mitch,
has been
Mitch
on his mind
asked
all
a question
week.
And, you know, we'll get to that. But I just wanted to share Mitch's. And I was serious because he sent this just a couple days ago. I just want to read this.
All right, get out the Kleenex box. Here come the tear jerkers.
I just love this. This is great. I really enjoy listening to your podcast, by the way. One of the only PPC audio resources where the host have personalities.
Wow. Did he say host plural or did he say Jason?
Hosts.
I'm just curious.
He said host. There was an S.
Plural?
There. Plural.
Okay.
Plural.
Okay, just checking.
So I just, Mitch, I, to prove it, I mean, I said it in the email. I love that review. And I know you didn't post it anywhere, but still, it's right here in my heart. And that's really funny. I love that. So here we are, Mr. and Mr. Personality. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, Chris, you know, we really try to make it a show. We put time into it. Because you and I have seen those resources online. Sometimes AdWords not the most entertaining thing to listen to, especially if you don't do it 24/7 like us. So, guys, we appreciate the reviews, honestly. Wherever you leave them, whether it's in our inbox to be seen by 2 people or whether it's on iTunes to help grow the show, we appreciate it, Chris. So, Chris, we got some good episodes coming up. And we're here on YouTube every week as well. We do extra content on YouTube, so we want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you next Monday with episode 66 of the Paid Search Podcast.